Today's show is dedicated to Moose Magnificat Radio, your home for all things Tallahassee. We call it the Sound of Tallahassee. I've got Danny Bedrosian with us and the new 76ers, loved by so many around town, and sharing some of their good music. So you stay with me.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, brought to you by Widden Glass, Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office, and by Merry Maids. Call Merry Maids. Relax. And it's done.
In 1945, Jack Widden started a glass company in Tallahassee. Now, over 70 years and three generations later, it's still working every day, doing just as Jack wanted, giving his customers real solutions for replacing window glass, providing custom cut mirrors, and supplying superior bath and shower enclosures. Local building contractors know Widden Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. They prefer Widden because of their precision and mastery of eye-catching storefront glass and countertop glass. It's a fact. When you choose Widden Glass, you're working with real glass people who will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. It's what Jack Widden wanted, and it's been the Widden way of doing business for over 70 years. Widden Glass, Tallahassee's first family in glass since 1945. Call Widden Glass today or visit them online, 850-222-5781 or WiddenGlass.com.
As promised, we're going to treat you with some great music today, some great conversation with some of our finer examples of the sound of Tallahassee and the new 76ers. My goodness, even if you aren't into that particular style of music, and I think that'd be okay, but there's something wrong with you then. I mean, you might want to get that checked. Because these folks are just great musicians, great people. And they have that sort of smoky, I don't know, country, bluesy, hillbilly kind of sound. and it is acoustic music that relies heavily on their well-crafted vocals and their nifty songwriting. And yeah, it's all good stuff. So that's coming up here in the first hour. Won't waste too much time until we get to that, but I do want to tell you a little bit about our beloved Moose Magnificat. You know, we had for many years the opportunity to promote local music here. And I mean, this company, Alcom, goes back to the early 90s. Alcom Marketing and Advertising started in April of 92. And our mission was pretty simple. We wanted to focus on local businesses, owner-operated, provide them direction in marketing, and provide them audio recordings. And so that was kind of our, entree into the world of marketing and communications. Did a lot of different things for a lot of very good people around town. Earl Jones, many of you remember Jones Tractor Company. Sold the company, and they're now under different name and ownership. But so many people relied on Jones Tractor Company for the best service and repair, and it was just awesome and great product. They're a John Deere dealership, and people like Tommy Allen, Tallahassee RV Center, and on the list goes. I mean, we had connections with so many local businesses, all with a very similar sort of challenge and problem, in as much as they didn't have the budget for a lot of advertising, nor did they have the means to hire an ad agency, you know, and that gets kind of pricey real fast. In fact, a lot of agencies won't even take the phone call if you're not dropping, you know, 10 grand a month or better. In fact, some of them won't talk to you if you're not spending $100,000 a month. And so they tend to cater to, you know, car dealerships and cell phone companies or big statewide agencies or bureaus. And then there are those that are sort of on the other end of that and have maybe a, you know, me, myself, and I kind of approach. And, you know, it's usually one or two folks that are trying to make it, and God bless them. The Bible says, do not despise small beginnings, but for businesses that are established and really have need for somebody with experience and somebody who knows how to parlay with media reps, that's a big part of it, protecting that client from the wiles of, let's say, less personal concern among ad reps who have it at heart, their own interests and the interests of the company they're representing. I mean, again, not crying foul there. That's what they get paid to do. But unless you happen to have background in advertising and marketing and sales and all that sort of thing, yeah, you kind of go with the next best thing that walks through the door. And after you've dropped whatever bit of money you had, you know, and then the rep says, sorry. Well, can I get, what? No, no. And so the tale was, you know, I know that half of my advertising money is working. I just don't know which half, right? Well, those days are long gone, but it gave me and the folks that were part of Alcom the motivation we needed to come in and do the work that was good for the local community. I mean, and that's always been sort of the downbeat around here. We focus on, if you want to say, community first and local first. And we were advocating, you know, those 30 years ago, shop local. Before it became cool, we were out there saying, yeah, well, we got a lot of very good local businesses that could use a little bit more professional help when it came to sales and marketing and advertising, all that. So that's kind of how it grew. And then as we got into the next decade, we expanded further. And now we have four companies under the Alcom banner. So Alcom Corporation brings you Capstan Marketing and Behola Communications. Behola is a Swedish word for retain. So that company is all about the audio recordings for your phone system and digital newsletters and text marketing and, yeah, anything and everything that you do as a business owner or as a nonprofit or a medical practice or a law firm to retain your clients, your customers, your patients. So retention is a big part of success in business. In fact, some have argued that it's the repeat and referral business that keeps businesses alive, and I would agree with that thinking. But then you have Mosa Design Group, and those folks build websites and provide graphic design, audio, and video production. Very talented group of folks there, award-winning they are. And then comes Spatterwork Media and Entertainment. And that sort of rounds out the scope of this Alcom Corp. And under the Spatterwork label, we have Moose Magnificat Radio, as well as this radio broadcast, and a show called Danny on Everything. That's Danny Bedrosian. As mentioned, he will be in the studio with us here in the second hour. Tremendously talented guy. It's just not right for one person to be that gifted musically. But he's in rank with a lot of those kind of folks. And for many years, I think he's going on maybe 20 years, he's toured with George Clinton and folks there. Trained as a classic pianist. Continues to perform on his own, even locally. You can go up to Thomasville. He's usually hanging out there on a Friday night, you know, oftentimes providing music for the patrons there, Chop House. Yeah, And, of course, this last year for any performing artist, it's been devastating. And Danny is a pretty smart kind of guy. So he, like a lot of artists, figured out how to create revenue streams, doing stuff online. He's got a new album that's just come out. And he's got a comic book, I think, too, that's pretty cool. Well, anyway, you're going to learn more about Danny and his music, and we'll have that for you here in the second hour. All of that to say, Moose Magnificat online, where you can find artists like Danny Bedrosian and New 76ers. And my goodness, I think that to date we've got maybe 1,000 artists that have contributed their music. And it's online at moosemagnificat.com. You can go and download the app, and you too can be listening to the sound of Tallahassee. Stay with me.
Widen Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. Local contractors know Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. They prefer Widen Glass because of their precise window glass replacement, masterful shower enclosures, and storefront glass. Widen Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. That's been Widen's way of doing business for 65 years. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. We've done hundreds of storefronts in the Tallahassee area. That's why Widen is known for taking care of business. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781. More beauty, less bully. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. We're here with this lovely trio. I say lovely because at least two of those folks that we know as the New 76ers are in fact very lovely. Brian Durham and Danny Goddard. Kelly is not just lovely, she's been fabulous. She is the crown jewel of this otherwise rather boring group of people who brings to... How about that for an intro? The New 76ers have won the hearts of many people across the region, but it gives us a chance to get to know him a little bit. Brian Durham, you have for your career as a musician under your belt a number of talents. You're not just the bass player, because I happen to know that you are multi-instrumental in your approach. Tell us about your musical background.
Oh man.
Or just tell us whatever you want to tell us. It doesn't matter. Really.
Okay.
Yeah, right. Just talk about what you want to care.
Okay, so I guess for historical purposes, I did a lot of singing. I focused a lot on a lot of like oldies, you know, 60s and 70s, a lot of Motown. That interests me.
Boys to Men.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Really? And doo-wop, that whole thing?
Oh, man. Yeah, yeah, definitely. Yeah, yeah. Boys to Men was more of when I was like elementary and on.
Best but, soul voice in the South.
But growing up, growing up, I definitely listened to a lot of like, a lot of oldies, which happened to do with a lot of Motown hits.
Yeah.
As far as instruments go, I started on guitar. And from that point on, my dad played a lot of bluegrass. He listened to Gabby's Gold. He bought every single bluegrass instrument that you could ever imagine, which is a true statement.
Look at that.
So in my closet, when I was...
But couldn't play him.
Love you, Bill.
Love you, Bill. But he really focused on mandolin, and I just kind of like grabbed each of those instruments and kind of, you know, discovered and explored.
That's amazing.
And as I got older, I became just a little bit more exploratory with my instrumentation. I play by ear, so a lot of the stuff that I pick up, I just play by ear. So that's whatever remarkable. I make the noise with my ear.
So your sister Kelly here is the other third of this trio. You guys did music together when you were growing up? Much?
Well, he talked about oldies music and our parents, it was kind of like a famous thing to do on Saturday nights to like move all the furniture back, you know, against the wall, and we'd have like a dance party. So we listened to a lot of oldies. It was when Studebakers was open back in the 80s, and they would broadcast live from Studebakers on Saturday nights.
So the discovery came pretty quickly for you folks in life, yeah, where you knew, huh, we got something going on.
Yeah.
Then you get hooked up with this guy, Danny Goddard. How did that all happen? I mean, you had a perfectly good thing going, and then Danny jumps in there.
Well, actually, when we met Danny, Brian and I weren't playing professionally. We were going to the warehouse for open mic nights.
Kelly was.
I was. Brian was still in high school, I think, at that point. Okay. But and that's how Danny and I met, was up there, and he was actually playing in a rock and roll band at the time, and I became a backstage Betty.
Which
Whoa. Not sure what that means.
I had the official lanyard and everything.
Wow.
So kind of when Danny and I started dating, I was at that time playing in a bluegrass band called Blue Moon. And our website was, and our first record was called Just Barely Bluegrass.
Oh, cool.
Because we did just barely play bluegrass. but we would play up at Posey's, and Danny started sitting in with us and on guitar and mando. And then we didn't have a bass player. And eventually.
Yeah, we did. Carrie Hamby.
Carrie Hamby actually did play bass for a very short period of time.
Great bass player.
Well, look, you know, we've got plenty of time here to get to know you folks, and so I don't want to rush through this. We do have to take a quick break. We're going to learn about our good buddy Danny Goddard.
That's right.
So let's do this. Let's take a moment. We've got a song that you're going to do for us here. Folks, you're going to love this. The song is entitled Lillian. I want you to hear the song, and then we'll talk about it after the break.
Cool.
Let's listen.
Ask me. come home to you.
Now we're really talking. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back. We've got the new 76ers here in studio. And wow, if we get through the rest of this next half hour or two coming up, this rest of the show, it'll be a miracle because I have no idea where we're going with this. Mm-hmm. But we've already learned about Brian and Kelly. And then comes Danny. Who then brings what? How did the new 76ers go from being a couple of people to a trio and then where you are now?
That's pretty simple. Hurricane Dennis wiped out Posies, which was our only real gig with Blue Moon. Brian was at that point in the band as our bass player. Mm. And kind of the other two guys, our buddy John worked for the state, a lot of session. And we just kind of... It just kind of morphed, and it became a lot easier to just the three of us, which Kelly and I were at that point living together, married with a child, and Brian was there, you know, right around the corner. It just became easy for us to just become a three-piece. And at that time, we started, you know, playing more closer to our style, you know, less bluegrass, more we kind of do, I guess, folk music. So
were you the new 76ers then, or how did that come about?
No, we became that, you know, like most bands, right before a gig, you know, and we needed a name to put on the poster. And so
works for me.
We basically, that became the name of our band, and we just kept it going, and then we haven't changed it.
And the origin of the name is what?
It's the highly contested, and we don't talk about that.
We each have a version of the story.
Because it's been so long ago, it's kind of like why your parents split up and talking to them at different reunions.
Okay, so back away slowly is what you're telling me. Okay. Yeah. Well, we don't want to approach
Brian's
this.
Wrong.
I understand, too, that you guys cannot have rehearsals
wrong.
Because you fight
we do
like
not
crazy.
Have
I understand.
That's correct.
I understand.
People think we're joking when we say
no,
that.
No, I
we
don't.
Just don't do it.
I really don't. I get it because I'm that way with my own family.
Yes.
We do a lot of great things together. Just don't try to plan anything.
Yeah.
Because the planning always falls apart.
We talked to Carl when he was doing sound, when he was setting us up today. Right. We have a new song.
Yeah.
And when we're on a mic, we sit there and we rehearse the new song right there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's our rehearsal, I guess. But it just happens when we get a minute and we're doing something else.
So before the break, we listened to Lillian. Kelly, this is a neat story in your life because it has to do with your great grandmother, your grandmother?
My grandparents, actually.
Nani?
Nani, yep. Nani, she was my dad's mom. And she was born in 1912. And we think she met Braxton, my grandfather, around 1920s and got married. But this song is really about me imagining how they met and then kind of how, you know, the evolution of their life together.
And it's cool because it is a waltz. And I know that a lot of times it's difficult, especially for people who enjoy dancing the waltz, to find a band that's going to play a waltz.
Mm-hmm.
It's really a lovely song.
It's funny because watching people, like, just the evolution of the song as we started playing it and then watching people dance to it.
It's a
timeless dance, and it's just really beautiful and simple, and it just warms me inside, you know, to watch people enjoying it.
I watched you guys the night of the Southern Music Rising Festival out there at Monticello Opera House, and I had not met you prior to that. I'd heard your music, but watching you together on stage was a real treat. And I know you had another couple of players with you that were spotting, you know, they were coming in and such. And but you talk about how it's tough to rehearse, but man, I want to tell you, you guys come together and it's palpable. I mean, the not only is there's this blend, there's clearly this level of respect and trust among the three of you that I don't know how to describe it other than to say it's like watching something acrobatic because it's that carefully created and timed, and and you really have each other's back.
Yeah,
it comes to me too. The song "Lillian," is that where a lot of the music comes from? Your own personal stories and history and family and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe Brian, you can speak to that.
I would. I mean, I think being the most novice of songwriters for this band, that I think a lot of us, we get a lot from our history, but then also from like new ideas and from the muse and whatever like happens, you know, during that certain time.
Well, I know you've got another one for us. What's the title of this song?
This next tune is called Rosalie.
Rosalie.
It's a duet that Kelly and I do together. It's a newer song.
All right. Let's listen. Rosalie, the new 76ers.
Reaching out in this moment for the things I am wanting. Just a minute to touch you, and I won't let you down.
If you wonder, I'm waiting. Hear a truth, I will always love you. You can never receive her. I won't let you down,
and I won't let you down. Can this be? Any moment to see you is a picture framed and it's love. Give me something to hold to, and I won't let you down.
Was in bad shape, and I was scared. I had never seen her so sick, and my mind was racing. What to do? Who to call? I mean, I raised her from a puppy. She's like my best friend. A few years ago, she developed diabetes, and I've been following her daily regimen carefully. But that morning, something just wasn't right. She could barely move, and I thought, I'm losing my dog. I called a friend, and he said, call Dr. Pliskin. So I called Mahan Animal Clinic, and they put me through immediately, and Dr. Pliskin said to get her there right away. Turns out her blood sugar had dropped dramatically, but he knew exactly what to do. And I guess you know. There's no other place I would go knowing that Mahan Animal Clinic and Dr. Pliskin are there for me and Aerith.
Special people and special care for those you love. Mahan Animal Clinic on Mahan Drive near Costco. On the web at mahananimalclinic.com or call 402-0557.
Jerry's Famous Cigar Shop offers front door service at both locations and plenty of outdoor seating at the Cary Forest Shop. Jerry's is committed to your safety during this pandemic, having sealed off the humidors to the public since March, which means the cigars are uncontaminated and ready to enjoy. To help our community, Jerry's is donating a portion of all Regina cigar sales to local food banks, with nearly $10,000 donated so far. Come see us at Jerry's Famous Cigar Shop, with two locations, on Shara Road and Cary Forest Park.
Widden Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Widden Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widden's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widden Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Widden Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Good morning, friends. This is your friend, Dr. Benjamin Franklin. We're talking with Brian Cerny on Tallahassee Talks.
We're back. We're with the new 76ers, who generously have agreed to stay with us. And I'm not going to take any time away from this fantastic music. We got two songs for us here. The first one is called Gone. So we're going to listen to that, and then you're going to hear Seen It All Go Down. Ladies and gentlemen, the new 76ers.
You'd give in all that state could take, never worrying about which heart it may break. You see more clearly now since you've been born. Never worried about the rain that is gone.
It is gone, gone, gone.
Last will is just as bad as a fragile of mine. Hearts do explode without the courtesy of time. And I sure do love you more than you'll ever know. But just like rain, I'm gonna have to up and go.
Thank you.
met you, I think I knew things would change, maybe rearrange. Things might not have worked out so strange. Hey, it comes around. Well, I held you in my hand, you see the hardest thing did to me. Seems like it was meant to be, but you shut it down. But I seen it all go down before. But I seen it all go down before. Well, you look around and dream about those things you just can't live without. Inside you just make a shout, hey, we must get out. If you ask my hand, I'd give it, man, and lead us from this strange place. It's a creepy place, who put us here? It's hard to trace. But I've seen it all go down before. But I've seen it all go down before. True, believe I lost the piece of you. You took all of these things and I never knew. If you ask my hand, I'd give it, man, and lead us from this strange. It's a creepy place, who put us here? It's hard to trace. But I've seen it all go down, seen it all go down before. But I've seen it all go down, seen it all go down before. But I've seen it all go down, seen it all go down before. Seen it all go down before. Woo!
The new 76ers from a conversation we had a few years back. Fantastic people. Folks, I've got Danny Bedrosian coming up here in the second hour, so stay with me for more Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Every day, Sellers makes life a little better for homeowners, helping them find the best design ideas for their homes with the best quality tile, carpet, and hardwood flooring. Even mosaics and ceramic and vinyl solutions are right there at their fingertips. Professional designers and seasoned advisors are ready with expert guidance to be certain they find the best solutions for their home. And best of all, Sellers works hard to bring the lowest prices and the highest quality products all in one location. That saves homeowners time and money. Maybe it's time for you to find the Seller's Advantage for your home or your office. See for yourself this week at Seller's spacious showroom, conveniently located on Capitol Circle Northeast, just north of Mahan Drive. Or find them online at sellerstile.com. Style, quality, and design at Seller's in Tallahassee. 656-8453. Hello, I'm Brian Cerny, host of Tallahassee Talks Radio.
And I'm Coach Sue Semrau.
The food assistance charities in Tallahassee need our help during this critical time of year. And the businesses sponsoring the Tallahassee Food Challenge want to remind each of us to take the challenge by making an additional contribution and donating food.
As the school year comes to an end, many children no longer have access to school-based food support programs. As a result, supplies run low, while the needs for assistance is even higher. Join us in giving generously during this critical time of need. You'll be helping feed hungry children and families across our community.
Go to TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com to learn how you can help and where you can donate. Your donation will go directly to these charities that do so much to help the needs of so many.
Take the challenge. Fill a bowl.
Feed the hungry. Do it now. Go to TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com. In 1945, Jack Whiddon started a glass company in Tallahassee. Now, over 70 years and three generations later, it's still working every day, doing just as Jack wanted, giving his customers real solutions for replacing window glass, providing custom-cut mirrors and supplying superior bath and shower enclosures. Local building contractors know Witten Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. They prefer Witten because of their precision and mastery of eye-catching storefront glass and countertop glass. It's a fact. When you choose Witten Glass, you're working with real glass people who will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. It's what Jack Witten wanted, and it's been the Witten way of doing business for over 70 years. Witten Glass, Tallahassee's first family in glass since 1945. Call Witten Glass today or visit them online, 850-222-5781 or wittenglass.com.
Hi, I'm Tom Flanagan. You're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back in the second hour of this here fine radio show, Tallahassee Talks, with Brian Cerny, now celebrating 10 years of continued conversations with, now it's into the thousands of folks that we've talked to, everybody from Governor Ann Scott's wife, the First Lady. What did I say, Governor Ann Scott? Governor Rick Scott's beloved Ann Scott was with us back in the day when the governor was still here about. And we've had people like, let's go down the list here real quickly. Everybody from Michelle Raywinkle Vasalinda, who you got to hear last week, from a conversation then we had with her about her own political career. Golly, the list just goes on. People with Tallahassee Fire Department and Police Department, local commissioners and the mayors. Andrew Gillum was on the show many times. Former commissioners. Marianne Lindley, a big fan of the show and a good friend of the show. And people in business from all kinds of businesses. Golly, everything from auto repair to insurance and fire protection. Yeah. And then the folks that are kind of down in the trenches providing social services. Just people from Second Harvest have been on the show repeatedly. So we just look for all of those ways in which we can bring to you the people who make this town what it is. And it's always been our approach that if you just have conversation, if you just listen, you know, don't try to script everything, but just talk with people about why they do what they do, why they're doing it here, what they find of value in Tallahassee. How does that work? And guess what? There's a thread of commonality. There's a common theme that continues to show up. And I think we've sort of established in these 10 years the notion that our best natural resource is the people, our people. That Tallahassee is not defined by a mountain range or a seaport or a river running through it. You know, we're not known for being much more than the state capital and the home of, you know, three major educational institutions. That's kind of it. But then you start to get past that level, you know, the kind of, you know, let's call it big, bold, you know, headlines. And you start finding out that there's a kind of commonality that puts people ahead of and focuses on contributions that are equitable, that everybody gets a chance to win. Now, of late, I've been a bit more critical, I suppose, or at least concerned with the fact that much of what we often talk about in terms of social issues, whether it's crime or poverty or hunger, continues to bewilder us somehow, continues to plague us when, come on, I mean, where do we go to find the solutions? We are always interested in helping in the short term You know, whether it's providing education, economic opportunities, you know, classes and training for people who can better themselves, providing immediate relief, whether it's food or money. Man, there's a fistful, you know, a bushel full of profit, nonprofit and public and even private organizations that are all focused on providing that immediate relief, treating the symptoms of what seems to be a much more pervasive cultural problem, perhaps. Those are the kinds of challenges as we go forward here in this new year that need to be addressed even more strongly. It's great to say, well, these organizations are cooperating with one another, and now you have this newly formed Child Services Council. Okay, so I guess that means then that monies are going to be better distributed, allocated across these various organizations that provide child services of some kind. But again, I mean, the real question is, why is it that Tallahassee, along with being known for its magnificent contributions in many ways, whether in government or education, or again, among our population, why is it that we're also known as the most income entrenched and oftentimes the most segregated, that is, separated from one another geographically, culturally, economically, educationally? Why is it that we have these disparities that just don't seem to go away? Some have said, well, it's a big part of that is the fact that the biggest labor force works for government in some capacity, and governments don't generally give raises every year. They're lucky to see raises every 5 to 10 years. Well, okay. So the private sector then, such as it is, just doesn't offer as much incentive, and so people tend to lean on the more stable, secure incomes, though they are more modest. Okay. I think a healthy contribution in this last decade has been the emphasis on providing training for skilled labor. You know, a workforce plus approach that says you can, you know, not have to take the course of going after a college degree if you want to learn how to drive a truck or be a welder or a plumber or even a, you know, a park ranger. Well, thanks to folks like TCC and Leon County, yeah, those kinds of programs now are in place and being participated in pretty widely. Again, a sort of a long game, but at least we're looking at how do we move people from a mindset that says, well, this is as good as it's going to get. This is just the way it is. Now, that's not Tallahassee. At least not the Tallahassee that we've been talking to for these last 10 years. So here's to a 10-year anniversary for this here fine radio show. You can find us online at TallahasseeTalks.com, where we do have all of those shows archived for you. You can also search on topics. And speaking of that, if you have an idea, a guest or a topic you'd like us to include, well, email us, topics@TallahasseeTalks.com. Simple enough. We're always glad to hear from you and always looking forward to the next great idea. Stay with me.
Hello, I'm Brian Cerny, host of Tallahassee Talks Radio.
And I'm Coach Sue Semrau.
The food assistance charities in Tallahassee need our help during this critical time of year. And the businesses sponsoring the Tallahassee Food Challenge want to remind each of us to take the challenge by making an additional contribution and donating food.
As the school year comes to an end, many children no longer have access to school-based food support programs. As a result,
supplies run low, while the needs for assistance is even higher. Join us in giving generously during this critical time of need. You'll be helping feed hungry children and families across our community.
Go to TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com to learn how you can help and where you can donate. Your donation will go directly to these charities that do so much to help the needs of so many.
Take the challenge. Fill a bowl.
Feed the hungry. Do it now. Go to TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com.
Changing the face of talk radio in Tallahassee. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Danny Bedrosian has a brand new show, and as promised, I wanted to bring you some of the outtakes from his first broadcast. I think you're going to really like this. His first guest, Michael Bakken. That's all I'm going to say. Wow. So stay with me. Here is Danny Bedrosian. Danny on everything.
Tell us a little bit about where you came from originally and what your roots are.
All right. So I was born in East Lansing, Michigan. My parents both taught at Michigan State University, so I came out of a kind of an academic environment and became involved in music at about 3 years old when I got my first Beatles record, Beatles 6 with 8 days a week and all that kind of stuff. And I used to just, you know, bang around on pots and pans in the kitchen and so on and so forth. And then one day my parents were at the Junior League thrift shop, and they saw this box of junk in it, and my mom thought it was pots and pans, and my dad said, no, that's a drum. And so they bought the drum, and they brought it home, and there was a kid down the street who was a guitar player, so they figured he'd know how to put together a drum. And so he put it together. Turns out, just by coincidence, that guy is a guy named Marty Rokich, who's now also a music professor, a composer out in California, so nice. You never know. Anyway, so he put together the drum, and then I had a little plastic guitar and a Sgt. Pepper suit, and I'd just go down in the basement and spend my days, you know, banging away on the drum, playing on the guitar, and thinking I was the fifth Beatle. So that was really the beginning. And then when I was about six, my sister had taken up the violin, and then she had given it up quickly, and there was this little half-size violin in the hallway, and I felt sorry for the violin, so I thought it needed a friend, so I started playing the violin. So I did violin and drums for a long time. Then when I was 9, started playing my brother's rock band. When I was 11, got into playing jazz, taking lessons, getting a little more serious, and then my mind was blown when I was 11 and my drum teacher told me, oh, there's this concert, you know, jazz concert, you might find it interesting. Turned out it was a double bill of Weather Report and Billy Cobham.
Oh, very nice.
And so that was my total sort of conversion experience. And once I heard Billy Cobham, I'm like, okay, that's the goal right there.
Right.
And, you know, kind of interesting coincidentally that it was Billy Cobham who sort of explored so many interesting things with, you know, Indian rhythmic systems and world music kinds of ideas through Mahavishnu Orchestra and things like that. And then eventually, much later, not that much later, I mean, when I was 15 is when I started getting into some of the West African music and gamelan and things like that. And then eventually went through, got my degree in percussion performance at the University of Toronto. But my teacher there, Russell Hartenberger, was also an ethnomusicologist, great percussionist with Nexus and the Steve Reich Ensemble, but he had also studied South Indian music and done a dissertation on that, did a lot of West African music. And so I got into all that kind of stuff. And then the sad part of the story is when I was in my early 20s, I lost the use of my arms, had a very bad chronic pain condition, and kind of had to give up playing for a while. And that's when I kind of shifted gears and ended up, you know, going to graduate school in ethnomusicology, and as it turned out, that worked out pretty well for me.
I'm sure many people are very thankful for that turn of bad luck.
Yeah.
So what brought you to Florida State specifically? Was there something about that university that that directed you there?
Yeah, a job.
Yeah, right. Nice.
I didn't know a whole lot about Florida State. You know, I was when I finished my PhD at UCLA, I was lucky enough to move straight into a teaching position at Bowling Green State University in Ohio. But that was a one-year position. It was sort of a temporary thing. Somebody had left at last minute and I walked into that. They needed somebody who could teach ethnomusicology and direct a Balinese gamelan, so I seized that opportunity. But then, you know, it wasn't clear whether that was going to turn into a permanent position, so meanwhile I was out you know, applying for everything in the world. So I applied for positions, at, you know, I applied and actually got interviews at Harvard, at Pomona College out in California, at Wayne State in Detroit. Mm. And then eventually the Bowling Green job did go tenure track and I did get offered the position. But by that time, I had already, you know, gone on the rails for the Florida State job. And once I came down here and checked out what was happening, they had the great ethnomusicologist Dale Olson was here and he was very cool and, you know, very, very friendly. And I thought this would be a great place to be. And I also wanted to live where it was warm.
Right.
But the great thing for me was that so I was kind of kept on the hooks with Harvard. Their search kept sort of dragging on and on. And they were sort of like, well, yeah, you're still under consideration. And finally, you know, after being kind of put on hold for a long time, they offered me the job the day of my interview at Florida State. So I had the great pleasure of being able to call the folks at Harvard and saying, eh, no thanks. So that's how I came here.
Very nice.
Yeah. And it's, you know, also I had heard, you know, that Florida State was known for two things that I knew about. One, they had a very good football team. Then they had one of kick-ass College of Music. And,
okay.
And so that was, it yeah, was yeah. very attractive.
For yeah. sure. Yeah. Now, I was as I tour for a living, as you know, I was in Bali. We're talking about the Balinese yep. gamelan ensemble.
Yeah.
And upon already knowing your lengthy resume in the past, I already knew that you had already published a great book on the history of Balinese music about
right.
The you know traditions of Balinese
gamelan music.
Gamelan music. And yeah. It's called the Music of Death and New Creation Experiences in the World of Balinese Gamelan Balaganjor.
Actually, that was pretty good.
Hey! Which was put out by University of Chicago Press in 1999. That's
right.
Your first...
That was my first book.
Publication, first mm-hmm. book. Now, I went to Bali for my first time just a couple months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And just like I thought, whenever I mentioned your name... People in the music industry knew exactly who you were and who I was talking about. Uh-huh. So, oh yes, of course we know Michael Backe.
Yeah.
Michael Backe is a big deal, and da 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 da. And I was
funny.
Really proud to know you. And I had
wow.
I had played them the rendition that we had done of George Clinton's Atomic Dog
yeah.
with the Balinese Gamelan Ensemble, which was a great connecting point since I was there with George
yeah.
playing
yeah.
in Bali, and they were so proud and happy to know that there was some connection with this American
yeah,
artist.
Yeah.
I want you to tell us about your connection to Balinese culture
right.
and what really initially attracted. I know that you said you got into FSU. They had the Balinese gamelan program already when you first went
actually,
there?
Actually, no. What happened? So at Bowling Green, they had a gamelan
oh, okay.
there because there had
gotcha.
Been a woman who taught there. It's a funny story, actually. So then I got the interview at Florida State. I come here and they offered me the job the day of the interview, which I wasn't expecting because all the other interviews, it's like, you know, the last thing you do is you meet with the dean and they give you this whole spiel about, oh, here's our tenure and promotion thing and here's the real estate situation. And you're like, who cares? I don't know if I have the job. So, you know, this is like my fifth interview in 7 weeks. I've been all over the country. I'm dealing with all this stuff back, you know, home. And so then the dean, who at the time was John Pearsall, he says, and we've been delighted with your visit here, Michael, and, you know, we know you have other offers on the table, and we'd like you to join us here on the faculty of Florida State. And I was, like, spacing out, thinking about, I'm going to go to the beach tomorrow. And, and then I'm, like, you know, suddenly catch my attention, like, oh, you know, did you just offer me the job? And he's like, yeah, you know, again, we know, you know, we want you here, and you're our last candidate, and so we're not going to mess around. And so then I'm started, like, sort of trying to fill in the time as I'm trying to think, well, how do I respond to this? And I'm thinking, well, I'd have to blah, blah, blah. You know, just kidding, when you're sort of talking one thing and something else is going on in your head. And I just kind of blurted out, well, I guess I'd have to give up my gamelan because they had the gamelan at Bowling Green. And he just sort of jumped in and said, well, if we bought you a gamelan, would that make the difference?
Oh.
And then I swear, I'm 98% certain this was the next sentence. So I said, well, I'd still have to think about it, but that would certainly make a difference. And then he leaned forward and said, and what's a gamelan? So, and how much does it cost?
Right.
So, right.
Wyden Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Wyden Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Wyden's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Wyden Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Wyden Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781. More beauty, less bully. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So what we're doing here is we're listening to Danny Bedrosian from his show, Danny on Everything, that debuted here recently on Moose Magnificat. It airs on Fridays at 5:30 and on Sunday afternoons at 1 when it does air, because it isn't pre-decided. Danny's taken the approach that I think is a very healthy approach. Pull together guests and ideas that are worthwhile and are worth your time and listening. You're going to find out. We're in segment two here, or the next portion of this conversation he had with Michael Bakken. Take a listen.
So anyway, that's how it happened. So actually, I was the one, you know, FSU purchased the Gamelan and then sent me over there to commission the building of it. And that's a whole radio show in itself.
Right, right.
That was quite an experience, yeah.
And it is quite an experience to both see and hear the music, the Gamelan music.
Yeah.
And it really is another world. I mean, as someone who plays quote-unquote Western music, but grew up in an Armenian culture too, Balinese music is so far afield from anything that I have ever really heard, both in the instrumentation and in the music theory itself.
That's right.
Can you, without, you know, I guess, like you said, a whole
without
book.
Writing another book about it.
Without writing another book about it.
Right, right.
Just for the listeners, what are some central themes of Gamelan? What are some central themes of maybe Balinese music that aren't so common or orthodox to the Western music that we know?
Sure, I can do that. So, I mean, the first thing you got to understand is that you're entering into a totally different sonic universe. Mm-hmm. Basically, you know, 90% of the instruments are bronze percussion instruments.
Right.
So we have slab metallophones, kind of like, you know, like a xylophone or a vibraphone, but with bronze keys. And then we have all these different kinds of gongs, you know, from little tiny ones to great big ones that are like, you know, 90 inches across. And some of those gongs are set up on, you know, racks where they're played as melodic instruments, and others of them are punctuating instruments to mark out particular times within the cycles of the music. Mm. So we have this kind of shimmering quality of bronze that sort of permeates the whole space. Adding to that is the unique way in which these instruments are tuned. It's what we call paired tuning. So if we are tuning Western instruments, you know, you bring in your piano tuner, right?
Sure.
He's got his A440, he's got his pitchfork, and everything's kind of set up with the exact intervals. Well, in Bali, it's a quite different system. You have a male and a female version of every instrument. Hmm. And those two instruments, which are kind of thought of as one composite instrument, are tuned so that the pitch is a little bit apart. Now, when you get into the really low pitch ones, that would be like the equivalent of a semitone.
I was going to say, it must be a semitone.
Piano.
Yeah, yeah.
But when they're struck together, they create this, what's called ombak, a wave, an acoustical beating wave that goes whoa, 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 whoa.
Ah.
Now, the further up you go with these paired instruments into the high pitch ones, that difference goes from being a semitone to being a tiny microtone. But the way it's tuned is not to the specific frequencies, but rather to the rate of oscillation of that acoustical beating, of that ombak. So the tiniest instruments and the large instruments all vibrate at the same rate. So you have whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa, 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 whoa.
Right.
And the key art of the tuning is to figure out how close do we have to make the intervals on the little instruments and how big do we have to make on the big instruments so that that shimmering, that wave, that mechanical vibrato consumes the whole space. On top of that, as you go from octave to octave with the registers of the different instruments, the octaves are actually stretched. So if you're on a piano, you have an exact octave from, you know, C to C to C to C all the way up. Well, if you did that with the Gamelan, this C would be, you know, a few cents higher than the C below it, and then that one a few cents.
Ah.
So that you get this stretching of the octave vertically and the stretching of the octave horizontally in the paired tuning. The idea behind all of that is that there's this sense, you know, if you do yoga or meditation, you know, Indian-based systems, Hindu-based systems, this is a Hindu culture in
right,
Bali.
Right,
most
Bali
of Indonesia is Muslim.
Right? Yeah, yeah, right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the idea is that, you know, like when you go Om, you know, the universal sound, the sound of creation, well, that every sound, you know, you've heard the old cliche that the entire universe is contained in a grain of sand, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So it's the same idea that the entire universe is contained within everything that exists within it.
Ah.
So that within every pitch, within every sonic event, every time a note is played, when the Gamelan goes, right, that is the whole universe right there. So by stretching out the octaves vertically and horizontally, we get that idea of an entire universe in every sonic event. Similarly, when the music is actually played, and especially more in the Javanese than in the Balinese style of gamelan.
Interesting.
The articulation is intentionally out of time.
Oh.
So that when, you know, the different instruments are struck, quote unquote, you know, on the beat,
yep.
the big gong will come a little bit later than the small, you know, metal
kind of contrapuntal, yeah. if you will. It's
yeah, but it's more like, not so much contrapuntal, but it's like, so you have counterpoint, you have different melodies going on at the same time, but this is more like just a note. So like if we all had, like if an orchestra goes bomb, the Javanese especially would go bomb.
Oh, interesting.
And so it just sounds like, oh, these guys can't play together. You know, they're not very good ensemble. But
that's
actually
intended.
It's intended, again, to stretch out the time so that every event is getting that whole sort of that cosmos within itself.
Right.
So those are a couple of things. Then the other thing that happens, you get these interlocking parts. So that in Balinese gamelan, all the melody parts, pretty much, at least once you get into the embellishment of the melody, rather than having one person play a melodic part, it's like two people are playing it, you know, Hocketing style.
Sure.
These guys got half the notes, this guy's got the other half notes. It's sort of the opposite of the Western concept. We're always trying to get, like, the drum set player, you know.
Yeah.
He's going to do the cymbal and the hi-hat and the bass drum and snare drum. You know, get one person to do what Four used to do down in New Orleans Parade.
Right.
In Bali, it's the opposite. We can get three people to do what one person could do. That's better. Why? Because it creates tightness of the community.
Right, right. Interesting. It's very, very fascinating, and there are some parallels to other types of world music, and then some that have no parallel to me, at least in sonically, for me hearing it when
That's
I was
right.
in Bali. It really just took my breath away, and I can see how you could write several books on this. Speaking of which, something that really blew me away, your textbook, World Music Traditions and Transformations, which was published by McGraw-Hill.
Mm.
It's been adopted in more than 150 universities and colleges nationwide and internationally.
Well, actually, it's up to 250 now.
Oh, whoa. Incredible. That is just, you should be so proud. I mean, obviously deserved, but should be so proud. And there's, if I'm not mistaken, a third edition is coming out soon.
Yeah, the third edition will be out October 1st, according to all the records. And I'm very excited about third edition because in the first couple of editions, we've been kind of beholden to 20th century technology. There's been a CD set that accompanies the book.
Sure.
And so you have to license everything, and you can only have so much time on four CDs or whatever it is. Well, now in the third edition, McGraw-Hill has a contract with Spotify.
Oh,
so
fantastic.
I can use anything on Spotify. No more excerpts, no more choosing between this and that. So basically the music playlist has gone from 107 tracks on the second edition to 320 tracks on the third
Amazing.
Edition.
Amazing.
So basically every time now that you come to a name, you know, James Brown, Taylor Swift, whatever,
sure.
you just go boom and you click and there you've got it.
Wow.
And so that's been a kind of a revolutionary, liberatory experience for me as the author of a book, because I always wanted to be able to include all the music, but, you know, you couldn't get things. Like, you couldn't use Beyonce because they couldn't afford the licensing or they couldn't get the license. And now it's if it's on Spotify. And the amazing thing was that all the stuff I had, like 95% of it was already on Spotify.
As well as a good amount of world music. Because
including all the world music.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. International. It doesn't matter what country.
Everything's there.
Very, very few countries have a ban on something like Spotify.
That's right.
There are some. But even in Bali, going back to Bali really quickly, I was listening to Balinese pop bands.
Oh, yeah.
When I was there
on Spotify.
You know, interviews with them and things like that.
Yep.
I also want to talk to you about the Artism Project,
mm-hmm.
and both its connection to the center in Florida, as well as the book that you have coming. You have another book coming out that deals specifically with this.
Well, okay. There's no simple answers when you're asking me questions.
Nice. That's okay. That's good.
I'll give you a quick sort of backstory to the new
please.
Book, which sort of encompasses the Artism Ensemble. Okay, so going back to 2003. Here I was, sort of a mid-career ethnomusicologist, you know, recently tenured, teaching in Florida State, had a couple of books out, another, you know, textbook, first edition, on its way, whatever. It's not that sort of. So, and then there was a sort of a total radical shift in my life when a kid came into my family network who, you know, was diagnosed at about the age of three as being on the autism spectrum with mm-hmm. Asperger's syndrome. And so there's a close relationship I had with this kid, and But I didn't really know how to kind of get in, you know, because and I didn't know what was going on because this was all new to me.
Hi, I'm Josh, and this is an ad for Super Signs. We were going to do an ad that was funny or maybe really dramatic, you know, something clever, but that just didn't work. So I'm just going to tell you, Super Signs is great. I mean, they're really great. And it's not just me saying it. Lots of people posting and talking to their friends. Here's one. We are so happy with all our signs and banners by Super Signs. Highly recommend. Here's another. These guys are awesome. They run their business with great quality and service. Our lighted sign looks fantastic. I can't rave enough. Super Signs does the really big stuff, like outdoor lighted signs, vehicle wraps, wall murals, and all the banners, the yard signs, and indoor signs too. So for your business or your birthday party, Super Signs is your sign company. So that's it. That's our ad. Super Signs is great. I mean, really, really, really great. You should call them, 422-1883, or go to their website, yoursupersigns.com. How's that for clever?
Now we're really talking. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So this is the third part of this show, Danny on Everything with Danny Bedrosian and his guest, Michael Backen. Thanks for hanging in here with me. I think you're going to find that and going forward, Danny Bedrosian is going to bring you some of the most interesting people on the planet on all kinds of different topics. This happened to be his first show with Dr. Backen. I think you've already discovered this is radio worth listening to. So let's take another listen.
And then I had my then colleague, Ben Cohen, who used to teach at Florida State. He's now in China teaching at a university there. But he was over at the house for the first time. We were, you know, just jamming, playing some drums after dinner. And this kid who, you know, would always kind of, you know, disappear whenever company came over or whatever, he emerged out of his bedroom and came while we were playing and just joined in with us.
Wow.
And it was just kind of this magical, amazing experience. And suddenly there was this kind of connection. And afterwards, this kid who would always kind of, you know, like wouldn't speak English even though he could and would kind of always carry a lot of tension in his body. Suddenly he was like relaxed and he was talking lucidly and he was using his, you know, hands to gesture while he was speaking, just like a total change. And it was just like, this is what I got to do.
It was very obvious that the music had sparked
something.
Music
had done something, right. Mm. And so I just, somehow I have to create, you know, what am I? I'm a musician. I'm an ethnomusicologist. Right. Somehow I have to make this what I, you know, rather than going back to Bali or whatever else, I got to do this. Mm-hmm. And so I essentially found a way to create the ethnomusicology of autism. And that kind of, it was very strange initially for the field, but because I was already somewhat known, people were like, okay, you know, we'll publish his stuff.
And specificity is very important in academia.
Right, right.
A and true so, academician is very specific.
You gotta know. Find so, and I had passion for it. So it went there. And so first there was this project called the Music Play Project, which was kind of more therapeutic. Hmm. Then a few years later, there was the Artism Project, where essentially it was almost like, you know, these video games like Guitar Hero or something, where you had these kids on the autism spectrum. They would come in, we'd have this what we call the EWOMP, the Exploratory World Music Playground. We have all kinds of cool instruments all over the place, and they could just do whatever they want. But on top of that, we had a band of great musicians from all over the world, some of whom, you know, Dan, you know, Carlos Odria, Carlos Silva, people like that.
Yeah, and fantastic.
And so they were kind of there at the whim of these kids to sort of say, okay, you do this, you do that. And so we got this grant from the National Endowment of the Arts, and we put together this ensemble, and we went out and did, you know, big concerts and, you know, did, you know, web broadcasts and all kinds of things. So that was arts and with kids. And out of that, you know, a whole bunch of interesting things happened. You can read about it if you want in the book when it comes out.
Nice.
But that kind of segued into this project where I was interviewing autistic musicians from all over the world, from Israel, from Canada, from all over the United States, and mainly interviewing them online, text messaging interviews, and, you know, about their experiences as musicians living in the world as autistic people.
Amazing.
And those conversations become the basis of the new book, which is called Speaking for Ourselves: Conversations on Life, Music, and Autism. And I'm very fortunate and happy that the book has been accepted for publication by Oxford University Press.
Very nice.
And so it'll be out on June 1st. I'm very excited about
that. That's fantastic. On June 1st. And speaking of books, this is your fourth book, right?
Well, it depends how you count. I mean, you know,
based on, well,
I mean, the main books are, so it's Music of Death and New Creation, there's the World Music Textbook, and then there's this book. But because the World Music Textbook has been published in multiple
so many editions,
yeah, sure. So we'll call it five.
Okay, fantastic. And then, okay, so that's coming out in 2018.
Both the third edition of World Music and the autism book are coming out. Let me just qualify one thing before I go on, because some people, if they, you know, if they're in the world of therapy and so on, speech therapy, working with autistic people, might think, well, why is he saying autistic people? Why isn't he saying people with autism? Because there's sort of debate about the correct terminology.
Really? Okay.
So there's what's called person-first language, where you say a person with autism, and that has become considered more respectful. However, people who are autistic, at least the people that I'm working with, they say, no, we don't like that. We are autistic people. Because if you say people with autism, it implies there's something bad about
autism. Right, that it's
autism.
A condition.
Yeah. It's like, you don't say you're a person with Armenianness.
Right, exactly. Right.
So just to qualify that.
Ah, it's very interesting. Yeah. Also, I wanted to touch on something that you have done for several years, I believe, at FSU, the Rainbow Concert.
Yeah.
And this is going into, it will be, 2018 will be the what?
21st, I believe.
Wow, I was going to say like 15.
Maybe even the 22nd. I'm losing track.
And you were involved in all of the, every single one of them?
Yeah, well, I was there. Dale Olson, who I talked about earlier.
Right.
He was my senior colleague up until 2008 when he retired. And he still lives here in town.
He's
very much part of the community. Hey, Dale, if you're listening. he came up with, you know, they have this big thing, the PRISM concert. It's a big institution at FSU where it's like they bring out, you know, the marching chiefs, the big 400-piece marching band. They got all the orchestras and the choirs. And so Dale came up with this idea. Well, why don't we do like a PRISM concert, but we'll do it world music with all of our world music ensembles? Because we have like the largest world music performance program in the country.
Arguably. I didn't know that.
Certainly in the southeastern United States. Yeah.
Wow. Fantastic.
You know, like 10, 11 ensembles going in all the time. And
wow.
So I was kind of my first thought was, oh man, that sounds like a logistical nightmare, you know, it's just a lot of work. But, you know, I was okay, you know, let's do it. So we did it, and then this tradition started of, you know, bringing in a guest artist every year. So this coming year, the 2018 concert, which will be on Friday, March the 2nd at Ruby Diamond Concert Hall, will feature a wonderful artist who you know also, Haichung.
Oh, nice. Oh,
Haichung, who's
genius. She is absolute genius. I love playing with her. She's an amazing musician.
So she's like, you know, one of the world's greatest Chinese Zhang players.
Right.
Chinese is like the harp zither.
Yes.
And she actually won in 1995. She won the National Zhang Competition of China. That's like winning the Levin Tritt Piano Competition.
Sure. Yeah, so exactly.
She truly is world class. And she's now in her third year of her PhD. I'm her dissertation advisor. And she's off to China next year to do her field research for her dissertation. So this is going to be a big send-off for her.
Gotcha.
But we've been fortunate to have some really amazing guest artists, including yourself.
It was an honor. Myself and my boss, Mr. George Clinton.
Yes, indeed.
We got to do a P-Funk-themed rainbow concert where several of the ensembles played a different song from the vast discography of P-Funk's music. And it was an absolute pleasure. I had so much fun going in and rehearsing with the groups, meeting all the kids, the students, the adults, the professors, all the staff, all the people. Everyone was just so, so wonderful. And I know George really loved it, too. And you also, I wanted to talk also about one of the ensembles that I've both seen before and after the Rainbow Concert several times and worked with, Omni Musica, which is your baby, basically.
Right.
And I know that are you on hiatus this semester?
No, we're still active.
Okay.
But we will be, I was on what's called research-oriented semester in the fall, so I was not teaching any of my regular classes, but I did do Omni Musica just for kicks and giggles, you know.
Professor Michael, it has been endlessly fascinating, as always. I could talk to you for hours about all of this stuff and many other things. Congratulations on your continued success, and we hope we can have you come back and talk to us some more soon in the future.
Absolutely. I'll come back anytime. And if this is your first time being the interviewer as opposed to interviewee, you're a natural.
Hey.
You did an awesome job.
Nice.
It's been a pleasure. It's been really fun.
Folks, that's what I've got for you today. We are the production of Spatterwork Media and Entertainment here in Tallahassee, coming to you from the studios of Moose Magnificat, Tallahassee's radio to the world, online at moosemagnificat.com, playing all local musicians, their original songs, 24/7. That is Moose Magnificat Radio. Carl Cerny is our executive producer. I'll be looking for you again next week. So come on, Tallahassee, come talk to me.
Hello, I'm Brian Cerny, host of Tallahassee Talks Radio.
And I'm Coach Sue Semrau.
The food assistance charities in Tallahassee need our help during this critical time of year. And the businesses sponsoring the Tallahassee Food Challenge want to remind each of us to take the challenge by making an additional contribution and donating food.
As the school year comes to an end, many children no longer have access to school-based food support programs. As a result, supplies run low, while the needs for assistance is even higher. Join us in giving generously during this critical time of need. You'll be helping feed hungry children and families across our community.
Go to TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com to learn how you can help and where you can donate. Your donation will go directly to these charities that do so much to help the needs of so many.
Take the challenge. Fill a bowl.
Feed the hungry. Do it now. Go to TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com.